This is Bill Carson on Monday, November the 27th, speaking on behalf of the Ross A. Living Museum, and I'm talking to Ann and Dr. Barry King in Ross A., New Brunswick. Thank you, folks. Thanks, Ann and Barry, for sharing your time today as we talk about old Ross A. and your history there. And where were you born now?
I was born in St. John, 1933.
1933. And you grew up, went to school in St. John?
Right. Graduated from St. John High in 1950.
1950. Went on and became a nurse. Where'd you get your nursing?
Montreal General Hospital, 1954.
And what'd you do then? Practice up there, or did you come return here to St. John?
Practiced in Montreal for a year, and then we were married and started a family. So.
Married in Montreal? That's where you met?
Well, I met Barry there, but we were married in St. John.
Married in St. John, but you met Barry in Montreal.
He was a medical student at McGill University.
So came, met up there. How long were you married in Montreal before you returned to Ross A.?
1 year, but we went to Millville, New Brunswick, in 1956 for a year.
To start your family, and Barry was practicing then?
Yes. He took over from a Dr. Jewett that had been there, and he died, and so we moved into there.
And into Millville, and we're how long in Millville?
1 year. And then George Bate called us from Ross A. saying he would like to go on in surgery. Were we interested in coming to Ross A. to take over his practice?
Was he one of the forerunners of medicine then in Ross A., as you recall?
Yes. He and Dr. Peters was here for years, and Roy Fanjoy was a GP here before he went on in ear, nose, and throat.
Dr. Fanjoy, was he a Fanjoy family of vocational school education?
Correct. Yeah. A brother of...
They call him Newton?
Newton.
Newton?
A brother of Newton Fanjoy, yes.
So that's the start of, so you started to raise a family here in Ross A. then?
Right. We came with two children, and then we had three more.
Three more. Which brings us to Barry. Where did you start your schooling?
Fredericton High School, then went on to UNB pre-medical, and then McGill medicine, and interned in Montreal.
This is what, the mid-50s?
Right, I graduated in 54, then interned in Montreal for 2 years, and before coming to Millville. And was in Millville for a year, as Ann said, and then we had a chance to move to Ross A. And one of the reasons why we moved is that in a country practice, Saturdays and Sundays were the only busy days. During the week, I wasn't too busy, so we jumped at the opportunity to come here. And we've been there for, I practiced for 37 years.
So you've been here in Ross A. in excess of 50 years? 50?
Be 50 years in a year.
What was Ross A. like, Ann, 50 years ago?
Well, it was pretty much what I call old Ross A. Yeah, the houses weren't built up the hill, etc. It was...
Were you the only medical family here in Ross A.?
No, not really the only medical family, the only ones actively practicing here. See, the other doctors were specialists, and they'd go...
Living or working in St. John?
Working in St. John.
Were you the only GP?
Yes.
I was the only GP.
For 12 years.
For 12 years before I had a partner. And then it's expanded to about 12 doctors around here.
What's your recollection? What would the population of Ross A. been then?
Oh, about 1,000 people. Wasn't that right, Ann? About 1,000 people?
760, I think.
Yeah, well, it wasn't any more than 1,000 people.
No.
1,000 people and
Do you remember what the price of homes were when you first came here to Ross Lake?
Well, they would be in the 20, 30, 40,000.
$20,000, $30,000, $40,000.
That's the new houses. And not the big palatial houses they had around here, but they were the old houses. They were the lumber people of St. John area. And they were the very wealthy people. We had contrast. My practice had very wealthy people and also very humble people. I remember doing a house call and there wasn't any floor, just an earthen floor in the house. There wasn't any wood or anything, just dirt.
What was Rossing then, strictly a bedroom community of St. John, as you recall?
Very little commercial out here. Quispam's just was were retainers, or they worked for the Rossay families. A lot of them did. And
What businesses do you remember in Rossay?
Well, Follett, the hardware store, arrived on the scene in the early 60s. It was a store, grocery store.
Mr. Deagle had the grocery store on the corner.
And there was
Mr. Ham.
Mr. Dixon had a little where the Ethel people there, he had a kind of a little store, meat store was there.
Meat store, grocery store. Would there have been a barber shop or a hairdresser?
There was a barber.
Service stations?
Yes.
The Ethel service station. It was here before the Irving station.
What, the old SO location across from the Bill Irving?
They're currently trying to renovate it, I think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if SO had a hand in it.
So most of the people in Rossay worked in St. John?
Yes.
Right, they were the bedroom community of St. John. And before cars became too prevalent, they used to commute by train up to the 30s and the 40s. A lot of Rossay people went to work
by train.
And I don't know, but there was about nine trains going towards Rossay or going
St. John a day.
Nine trains. Being a bedroom community as such, was this a summer residence area for a lot of St. Johners in it?
Yes.
It initially started off as a summer residence. Then the Streeters was one of the first ones to have a permanent residence here.
Mr. Percival Streeter.
Right, beside the Mackays. The Mackays, they were a little earlier.
Okay.
Malcolm and...
That was the Dairy Mackays and the Lumber Mackays and
then the...
And the Stockbroker Mackay.
Yeah, the three of them.
Okay.
And their fathers, I think, were the lumber barons of...
Okay.
Of the Brunswick.
So the Mackays would have been one of the earliest families of this town, as you recollect?
Well, there were Scribners and Carpenters and Saunders were.
Unfortunately, you hear those names at Remembrance Day services too.
Right.
I think they called it Scribnerville, or it was a nickname, or Scribnerville, wasn't it?
At one point.
But they were the three, and the Wrights. That's another one, I forgot the name, Doug Wright.
So what did the Wrights do?
Well, he was a painter.
Handyman.
House painter.
And then, if I remember correctly, didn't they have some cows on the commons? The righteous, you hear about it. Our clinic was forerunner of the RCS. Were the RCS...
Your previous your office.
Right, I think they may have had a dozen pupils or something in there, around it.
Started off as the RCS school.
Started off as RCS?
Yeah.
Yes.
Gracious sakes.
The day before the RCS was built up, where, you know, they had formally opened there.
So you're talking just a handful of students at RCS?
Yeah.
In 1950?
No.
Early 1900s.
Well, they were the late 1900s. The late 1900s. I think RCS was officially open. I don't know the history. I should know the history.
We're going to be recording that too, hopefully.
Yeah. And but let's say in 1895 or 1890 or something like that today.
But they were in your clinic until
the new school opened up.
Okay.
Until they.
So your clinic goes back a long, long ways.
Yes.
To the turn of the century.
Yeah, it's 100 years old. Okay. 100 years old. And at least that.
Class.
I'm glad we sold it.
As a mother of five, Ann, what do you recall growing up? Where did your children go to school?
Our children went right next door to the clinic. Rossi Park School, it's called now.
Okay. Grade 1 to 6.
Then there was junior high, where Rossi High School is now. That was 7, 8, and 9. And then they went to Rossi High, which was Harry Miller in behind.
Okay.
Before,
yeah.
Our youngest daughter, Jean, ended up at Kennebecasis Valley High School.
Same
she graduated.
Okay.
She graduated from there in 77. That was
one of the earlier.
That was about the first class out, I think.
Yeah. Like our daughter Elaine, I guess, too. Now, what did your children do for activities and churches? What were there for churches here?
There were the three main churches that are still here: St. David's, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, and St. Paul's.
Three. Had the Baptist, big Baptist church, that hadn't started then?
No, that was in the 70s, no. Early 70s.
Or the Wesleyan, of course, that wasn't there then either.
They were years later. And then there's a Baptist church in Quispam Sis.
There were several Church of England's around.
Yep.
St. James and St. Augustine's.
What did the kids do now for fun? What did they play at?
The boys played hockey.
What rink would they have played in?
Kennebecasis Valley rink. Because they could walk there from the home. They weren't driven in those days.
Exactly.
And
that's not the existing rink, is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
That goes back
to the
50s.
They played a few games of hockey in the RCS rink, too.
Well,
not many, but they did.
That was an outdoor.
No, it was a covered.
Well, it was covered, but they relied on the weather.
Real ice.
Yep.
Yep.
And the girls, they took piano and sang in the choir.
And they had scouts.
Swim there. Oh, yes. St. David's Church had a Boy Scout program.
Good.
Sea Scouts.
Do they still?
They had Sea Scouts. And for a few years, yep. And, well, it was an ideal situation for the kids growing up. Wasn't too much traffic.
No.
And
then the girls played tennis. They could, there again, walk to the tennis court.
At the existing tennis courts?
Correct.
Right down here?
On Tennis Court Road.
They were free-floating in a sense that, you know, they weren't looking for activities, or we were, you know, looking for activities for them. They picked up what the rest of them were doing around.
No. We always had a summer cottage since 1960, so we would...
That's over Long Reach?
Long Reach, yes.
Since the 60s?
At the Williams Wharf.
Yes. Are you still over there?
Yes, we are in the summer.
Yeah.
For 3 months, we move over.
You've done that all these years?
Yes.
Well, I used to call it my hideaway. People.
You didn't have cell phones then?
No, we didn't have cell phones then, but they also, they were very decent. The people, they'd have to be pretty sick if they wanted you to come and visit them. And they didn't abuse it too much. I don't say abuse it, but they didn't use it too much. Abuse is kind of a bad word. That was a lifestyle for a doctor, is that we did house calls, and everybody did. So there wasn't any resentment that you... And I enjoyed the house calls. It may be time-consuming, but you saw a lot of life that you wouldn't do it if you hadn't gone in the homes.
Talking about house calls, have you noticed a major change in the medical profession for MDs in the last 50 years?
Well, a change in lifestyle. Yeah, there is. You can't see a doctor after 5 o'clock or on the weekends. I don't think there's any formal call system for the family physicians. They seem to go on their own. And you have to go to the outdoor if you're sick. But something new has sprung up that's probably good. These emergency clinics. You know, you'd have to phone the same day you want to be seen, and you'd go up at nighttime, and they're run by the family physicians. That's new in the last 10 years, isn't it, Anne?
Yes.
But there was a gap for a while where you had to go to the outdoor. And the other thing I saw is they have a lab out here now that take your blood, and they do X-rays.
We participated there just recently, yes.
And it's quite a convenience. I think...
Do you think the MDs have it physically easier than you did in your day when you began?
Yes, but I think it's every bit as stressful. As medicine gets more and more advanced, it's more stressful, I think. Really think it's more stressful in the modern society is rush, rush, rush. Time is a big factor.
You are one of the forerunners of many aspects of medicine. What are the major changes that you've seen that are impressive to you in the development of medicine?
Well, it's the rapid progress of medicine. You know, one time if they had some new novel treatment, it would take 10 years to evolve. Now you see one each year. I think the diagnosis would be the major thing that I've seen. The technique of X-rays. When I first started, we didn't have MRIs, or we didn't have CAT scans. The X-ray probably is a big advance. We didn't have any cardiology. And I don't think psychiatry, there wasn't any public psychiatrists. If you wanted someone to see a psychiatrist, they had to go to the mental hospital to see a psychiatrist.
Oh, center care.
Yeah. They weren't in private practice until, John Terrio was one of the first ones on the scene.
As a psychiatrist?
Yeah. So, well, there's a lot of advances, but I say diagnostic techniques. And we didn't have any treatment for blood pressure when I first started. Now there's all kinds of treatments for blood pressure. We didn't have the birth control pill. And that was a...
Did you do home delivery in those days, too?
First year in practice, I did home delivery. That was very interesting. Kind of You were the only one that you could rely on. You couldn't call for help. Except what? I can remember having some husbands help me with the delivery in the first year of practice.
Would that be the patient's choice to have the home delivery or just...
Well, because of money, they couldn't afford to go to the hospital. And I think it was tradition, too, that they had home deliveries. It was just the end of the home deliveries. And I had a Red Cross nurse who would give the anesthetic.
That wouldn't be allowed today, of course?
No. No, it wouldn't be allowed. But I had no complaint. Had no complaint about the Red Cross nurses. They had enough experience. No, I didn't have any complaints with the anesthetic. It was an interesting experience, the home delivery. But we arrived in St. John. There was only one home delivery. And I was away at the time. And Stu Houston, who became a neurosurgeon afterwards and went to Halifax, he was on call. He had to go out and do the home delivery. That was the only thing that the home delivery here.
But what was it like as a mother and as a wife of a young GP with five children?
Well,
apart from being hectic.
Life was busy then, because if he had a suturing to do, I assisted in the office. And then in those days, we had to bill the patients. There wasn't Medicare. Blue Cross was just coming into effect in the 60s, early 70s.
So you ran,
and I ran,
you ran the office as well.
And I answered the telephone.
Yeah, she was the answering service. She had to know where I was, in case of emergency come up.
But we had a couple of flu epidemics, and that really kept us on the go. He would have 12 and 13 house calls in a day. So I would just phone them, try and catch them at somebody's house, and tell them the
it
next.
Saved me a lot of coming back to the office and say, if you get another house call, she'd phone them. And Harry Miller's wife, Johnny Miller, she answered the phone for a few years.
Because she was doing the police anyway, and then I think she did the fire department for a while.
And
unless Jeff Sayre did it. Totally.
No, she may have, if Jeff wanted a day off, he would hook up with Johnny Miller. But Johnny did 7 days a week. She answered the phone.
24 hours.
This was Harry's
wife, that she's still alive. And
because Harry at first had his office in his house too before the town hall.
So with some help, raised five children, and you had time to be on council, be deputy mayor. How many years were you on council?
12 years.
Looking back, what do you remember with fondness about council? Was it hectic or enjoyable?
No, I enjoyed it. We were busy.
Who was the mayor? Who was your...
Don Horn.
Don.
But when we were first elected, we had a town manager, and then he became very ill, Hartley Smith.
Okay.
So I ran the office for quite a while and finally filled out form after form to see what grants we could get for students. And then I had a student approach me. She would like to do some work in the town hall, so I very gladly had her come in and answer the phone. It took us quite a while to get another manager.
You spent 12 years on council. What do you, looking back as a former deputy mayor, what are the major changes you see in Rosse? There have been so many changes.
Well, that's right. There have been several. I don't know. It seemed to me, I could be wrong, but I think we followed the book a little more than they do now.
And do you remember who your other counselors were with you?
Jerry McMacken, Bill Artis,
Bill was on council then, okay.
And Hop Clark.
Right.
Blank. There were still a couple more.
You met monthly?
Yes.
You were on various committees too? You were on the fire committee?
I was on the fire board for a while, and the library for at least 10 years.
On the fire department, what did you have for equipment? Who was your fire chief then, do you recall?
It was Jeff Sayre.
Jeff Sayre.
And then I was on the committee that hired our present.
Chief Greer?
Chief Greer. Right. Down in our, the living room of our house, we made the decision. We had to be away from the fire department, was then in the town hall, so.
There's no stipend. You, the councilors didn't get any stipend in your days.
No. We were all gratis, as I'm sure
all
you were.
All volunteer.
And did a lot of volunteer work around the area.
Mentally retarded too, were you involved there?
Yes.
Political
we started a school.
Out as mentally challenged. Yes.
Mentally challenged. And library.
Right. The mentally challenged, we started a school in Rossay in 1963. And it was Phil Oland and Dr. Graham Knoll that decided we should form a board and get a school going. So there were about 12 of us involved. And the workshop is still down here at the chalet in Renforth.
Okay, now you were the forerunner or involved in the forerunner of that?
Right.
That has been extremely successful, I believe.
Yes. Well, there are quite a few integrated into the school system now, which is wonderful. But in those days, we still had the Roberts Hospital School, and I'm afraid there were quite a few of us that fought to dismiss that school, which it did disband. Not until the 80s, I think.
Okay.
1980s.
So you were on the founding members of the Mentally Challenged.
For Ross. Then I also was provincial vice president for a number of years.
Of the Mentally Challenged group?
Of which I received a life membership.
That must give you a great
83.
Satisfaction.
Right. We did an exchange student one summer, and that was hard to find people that were willing to billet mentally challenged from St. Catharines, Ontario. But
how old was that person? A youngster?
They were pretty much in their early teens. We had a boy and a girl stay with us, and then there were 10 others billeted elsewhere. And we were allowed a school bus for the week, and there were programs. They went on picnics and different people's homes for barbecues.
Anne was more relaxed than I was. I was afraid they're going to break the furniture up, but Anne was more relaxed.
Well, I've been doing it for years.
You were more involved than many mothers were with a large family and your activity on council and mentally challenged and library and...
Well, I worked for the Red Cross, too, for years, and the Cancer Society. There I have another life membership for New Brunswick. I did the inpatient for St. John King's. In that, I mean, if somebody had to go to Halifax, I had to make a decision whether the Cancer Society paid their transportation and their stay over there, and whether we paid for dressings for patients. In those days, they weren't gratis, except through the society. And then we had a group in Rossay for, I'd say, at least 10 years, where we made dressings. 4x4, we called them. And these were sterilized and given to patients. But we called ourselves Community Coffee Group. And we met once a month and made dressings.
That disbanded now?
Disbanded, yes. We gave the proceeds back to the Cancer Society.
Okay.
We all put in a collection when we met.
But you were.
And then I did the canvassing out here for probably 6 years, lined up people on every street to canvass.
Cancer Society?
Cancer Society, and we did very well in Rossay. 5,000 to 8,000 most years. So.
But you were the era.
Excellent.
Dan, you were the era of volunteers. There were a lot of homemakers donated their time free of charge, you know, on services. Now, so some of them are taken up by professional people, or that you were strictly volunteer, you know, services. And there are a lot of women in this area that volunteered their services.
And we had another group, Doctors' Wives group in St. John. I mean, there were only, I'd say, a maximum of 200 doctors here then. And we manned the Red Cross clinics, and then we would phone for volunteers to the Red Cross. We gave an evening a week.
An evening a week?
To do that.
Gracious sakes.
Well,
you were very busy.
I was.
Did you?
Got into a lot of things.
You curled as well?
Yes, I did. Forgot about that. I curled until we had three children in junior high, and then they were all on the split shift.
So you shouldn't have too much free time.
Barry said, you give up your curling and get your children to school. So I did. But I enjoyed curling, and I still watch it. All weekend I was glued to the TV.
Yeah.
So, and then church has always been a main part of my life.
St. Paul's. You've had some wonderful ministers there.
Yes.
You've just lost a very fine minister now.
Yes, we
have. To Shediac?
Shediac Cape. And we have a new one coming February 1st. Albert Snellgrove. From Riverview.
Okay.
He's been there 17 years. And we met him this Friday. He took a funeral service here. Seems very nice, so we're looking forward to that.
Great. Well, it's been a great association with your past minister and the other churches in Rossay.
Yes.
A fine association. So he'll be sorely missed.
He will be.
But it was interesting that the bishop was from this area before he became a minister. Claude Miller. Claude at 40 decided to go into the ministry, and he went to theological school, and then he had a few places that he...
Parishes.
And then he was elected bishop. But yesterday he said, it's just like old homie down here. Yeah. I said hello to him, and he was a patient of mine. Few other friends were in the church yesterday that he was friends before he became bishop.
Oh, great. Was Riverside as active in the 50s and 60s as it is today? Riverside Golf Course, Country Club?
Not quite. The golf was, but curling didn't come in until 70s or 80s to Riverside.
Was it a social center for families around Rossay then?
Yes.
It was the only place you could get a drink in the whole St. John area. That's right. If we had a person from out of town, and if you wanted to have a drink with your meal, the only place you could go was the golf club.
And the rumor mill is that they had marvelous pastry cooks and chefs, and the meals were excellent, I'm told.
That's right. The old clubhouse was a great spot. We went there several New Year's Eves to dances.
Oh, yeah, that was a
real fireplace. You don't see that too often.
Real fireplace, yeah.
The wood. And Barry was there the day of the fire. He said he got to move Cadillacs back, etc.
From the parking lot.
1966, yeah.
Oh, you're right there. I forgot that.
That's right, a year after we built our home.
We were just getting off the golf course. It was 3 o'clock, I think, or 3 or 4 o'clock. And he said, well, we better move the cars. Some of them were locked up, but the ones that weren't locked up, we put them into neutral and got them down to the end of the parking lot.
Great. As a mother and a nurse and a deputy mayor, what are your recollections of the past 50 years here in Rossay?
Well, they were busy years when we first moved here, and then now Barry has retired. We can do things at our own pace. Slow.
Are you spending as much time at the camp?
Yes.
All summer.
Oh, 3 months. Mid-June.
You physically move over.
Yes.
The listeners will be interested in your, tell us about your new home. I haven't complimented you on this beautiful new home. When did you move in?
Exactly a year ago, last November. And it's great. It's great for me.
All one level?
Yes.
How many bedrooms do you have here?
Three.
Beautiful. Very large home, lovely, lovely lot.
It is.
Did your son do the landscaping? It's a beautiful job.
Well, my sons and son-in-law did a lot.
Great.
And I think we're the only ones around the block that put seed down. Everybody else has rolled out the sod.
Of course, we have to comment on this development, this area here. There is not a developer per se. Was this property was owned by Mr. Steele, was it?
It was owned by Donnie Steele.
Don
Steele, and then his sister-in-law, Nora Steele. They were the ones that sold the properties. And they were
originally the Steele estate.
That's John Steele's brother.
Brother.
Oh, yes, but yes. The Steele's parents had this thing.
Okay.
And they left. Somehow Donnie and his sister-in-law?
Nora Steele.
Sister-in-law.
Yes.
They got part of it, and John donated the trail, John Steele. In memory of his parents.
Okay.
And Don, he developed it. Don was an engineer.
Well, there's some very, very beautiful homes.
And they're also...
They're all sold, the property.
Are they all sold?
Yes. Yes. There's not, I don't... Don said the other day there's only one, but it's not on this, it's down one. From this house, you can't see.
Between what I call the Creighton's house and the Mrs. Higgins next door.
That one's still left, is it?
Well, we actually spoke for that originally, and it was on hold.
And now it's...
Well, I think it's maybe still on hold. To another Dr. Keyes, the father of the two boys that...
John?
Built.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that.
Well, that's what Donnie told me.
Cross from Arthur Miller's.
Okay. Do you notice the difference in schools here? In the schooling system? Many changes?
Not that I have noticed, but then again, I was never
involved
with schools.
Well, there was one primary school. Fairville was a new school.
KB High School is new. About 75, you say, around there?
Yes. Well, the first class out, I think, was 70.
And then the French immersion one up there.
Rossay Elementary is new.
So there's about four new schools built since we've been here.
What was the Rossay Elementary is now the junior high school, Rossay Park School.
Okay.
But grade 9 is now high school, not junior high.
9, 10, 11, and 12, okay. You haven't touched on the Kinnegan River. Were there more activities on the river with your family than you see today, going back 50 years?
No, there was a sailing course for the children, started in the 60s, anyway. The Rossay Yacht Club has always been...
That's so very active.
Yes.
Development of young sailors. What about ice boating?
Very few ice boats. The Grant family have one, and...
Sayers. On the Bronx, too, I think.
Yeah. I've only ever seen two or three, I suppose.
Now, years ago, were there more? Or were there only a few over the years?
I don't know. It'd be before we came to Rossa.
So
there's been a lot of skating on the river, but the skidoos, of course, are only in the last 20 years on the river.
And skiing was another thing that, not Rossa itself, but they went up, had access to Poly Mountain, but that was...
I'm not sure when Poly Mountain started, but I want to... At least in the 70s.
But skiing became a winter sport. And...
Were you both into golf? Barry, you've been a golfer for most of your life. Did you play golf, Joanna?
No, I never played golf. I was a social member at Riverside.
I know, Barry, you've been, had a keen interest in golf over the years.
Well, I started a little late, 35. Joe Streeter was the one that got me interested in golf, and he said, we had a lot of fun on the golf course, and we still bet 10 cents a hole. We never upped the ante at all over the 25 years. It's still 10 cents, and we fought over that just as hard as it was a dollar.
You play.
I have computers done for the medical profession. You're a computer nut, I'm told.
Well, you can get all the information you need. You know, theoretically, you can get as much information, or any information. You don't have to go to the textbooks now. And it's very recent. It's reliable. I just heard the other day that the doctors are now consulting Google. If they have a diagnostic problem, they put it on Google, and Google will do it for them. Well, it's quite a change, and they will immediately translate it off foreign paper. If there was a subject you were interested in and it was in Italian, they would translate that for you, just like that.
So that's faster medicine. Is it better medicine then?
Well...
Or easier?
Quicker. You didn't have to... perhaps it doesn't make you a better doctor, I don't think. But the information you're looking for, it gives you all the possibilities. I guess that's the word. And it comes up so fast. Before, you'd have to... Two or three... The medical library would look up the information, then you'd have to read it. But now you can stay home. The other thing the computers have did is... They can send x-rays. They can send x-rays to the diagnostician in their home and get the report. Get the report back after this read, you know. They can transmit x-rays across the internet. There's some places now will send their MRI in the weekend to India or Australia because it's a different time. You know, it's the next day in Australia or the next day in India, and they get them read and come back. So, computers have come a long ways.
Has it made life easier for MDs?
Well, if more knowledge is making it easier, I don't know. More decisions, I guess. I think it's more stressful. I keep saying it's more stressful. The more you have on your plate, the more you more differential possibilities you have to make.
And you, as a councilor, deputy mayor, appreciate the municipal politics. What has amalgamation done for us?
hard one to answer. Bill, you and I worked with the separate communities. But I think it's brought the communities together. I think it's easier to work with two instead of six. Councils, mayor.
Were you surprised at the time that we all didn't go together?
Yes. Actually, I really thought St. John was going to win out and swallow us up for a while. That seemed to be what the government wanted.
In the next 10 years where we will be part of St. John?
I think so. We support a lot of things in there now.
Do you think it would be good for Rossay to be part of a larger community?
No, I would prefer to see us stay as the town of Rossay and the town of Quispamsis. Things seem to be amalgamating these days.
We've gone from 1,000 people to
27,000.
Are we 27 now, Rossay?
Rossay and Quispam.
Oh, so
we are 13,000 something.
Do you see us joining with Quispam in the interim?
It's an interesting question. I'm not sure, Bill. We seem to fight with Quispam somehow.
Well, we've seen the rivalry since the day we arrived. You know, Quispam and Rossay.
You're talking all the years?
Yeah, all the years. Rivalry. And until they become think as one mentality or municipality, if they think as one, then we perhaps would make progress. But we have to have separate ranks, you know, separate municipalities. There's progress. We've seen progress. I'm a traditionalist, so I didn't like to see Rossay be any bigger than it first was, but I'm accepted it now. You have to accept progress, I guess.
And one thing we haven't mentioned is you're a founding member of the Rossay Living Museum, too. A very active member and a very important member. I should record, of course, that the Rossay Living Museum is structured with the town of Rossay and Rossay High School to record the history of all the former communities that make up Rossay. What would you like to see the Rossay Living Museum do, Anne, in the years ahead? I don't think of us as being seniors, but we are. When we go back 50 years, we are now the seniors of the area. What would you like to see captured by the Rossay Living Museum for your grandchildren? What could we do better? What could we do in addition?
Well, we've tried to get some artifacts there. We've got Renforth is well represented up in the library, and Rossay we've worked on, and Fairville, we're still
historic properties now, historic. We're reporting, which is a very, very positive. Hopefully more next year.
Right.
Are we on the right track, do you think?
I think so. I've heard different people say they'd like to go up and look around, but I don't know whether they do or not. I mean, I said you have to go during school hours to see things.
The access to this information, it's too bad. I envisioned it too bad we couldn't have a separate building as housing of all the information.
More accessible.
More accessible. That takes money.
Yeah.
And space.
But we should be proud of our history, or
there's some great history in the area.
Well, I'm pleased that we are trying to, we've recorded now the probably 25 or 35 histories of families including yourself, not a day, which we appreciate, and that's there for posterity on the web. We are getting artifacts. We're now going to do more for Fairvale, hopefully Wells, and so that we'll have it all encompassed. Are there areas that we have not touched on now? You've been in here a year, so you're basically all settled. Is there more development going on here, or do you see Rossi developing further?
Well, I'd say most of the land is taken care of. I know when I was on council, there were three areas approached to build condos, and none of those three areas have been touched within the Rossi itself.
Do you think there's a market for condos in Rossi?
Probably. But then again, the church, St. Paul's, tried to bring in Abbeyfield, which would have been a group home for 10 seniors, and the people were definitely, the neighbors were against it. It was
defeated. The rumor has it that will fly, that will go eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah. I think it appears to have a lot of support.
Yes. Well, it would just be nice to have it locally so that people aren't going. I mean, a lot of Rossi are now going to Chateau Champlain and Milledgeville.
Yes.
Selling their places.
And they're the living history. These people going into these community developments are the living history.
Absolutely.
And once you lose them, then you lost a lot of history. You should get it when they can record or give them their impressions, I guess, because it's lost when they've left the area, either through necessity or death.
Age and inability to look after large properties.
Right. That's the other thing, Bill, is that a lot of people go into these developed areas because they physically are unable to look after their properties.
Look at Chapel Hill. That's development. We have seven or eight friends,
yes,
as you do, who have gone up there, and they're condominium structures so that they do not have the work, and it seems to be very popular, and I believe the council has approved another development by Mr. Scott.
12 more.
12 homes. More.
And Gondola Point. They have the heart thing up there by the ferry there.
Yes.
Then they have a service thing. They don't have to look after the snow or they don't have to look after the lawns.
Have we missed...
That's popular.
Have we missed any areas? And as a councilor, a mother, a volunteer, and an extremely active woman, have we touched on most of your areas of interest?
I think so, Bill.
Doctor? Yes.
Well, getting back to computers, the sports history, I was looking up, and this is back 60 or 70 years ago. One was the Canadian doubles, women's doubles champion, and I didn't realize that she was from Rossi. And she was Rupert Turnbull's wife.
For heaven's sakes.
So there's a lot of information up there, and she was from Rossi, and the Babbitt, which I knew from Fredericton, was her partner. I don't know if it was Isabel Babbitt.
What developed your interest in computers? Was it medicine?
No, I read an article in the Globe and Mail. This is 1980. They said, in 10 years, if you're not computer illiterate, it would be the same equivalent as if you were illiterate, can't read or write. So I said, well, I better learn about computers. Don't want to be illiterate. But it didn't turn out that way. But that was the essence of the article. They said that you'll be considered illiterate in 10 years. But the shame is that most older people are intimidated by it, so they say, they use the excuse, I'm not interested in it. But I think that they don't want to.
Are you as keen?
No, I've never touched a computer.
Well, I must admit, we're in nursing school. I think we've done a fairly thorough review, and I must say, Ed, on behalf of our board committee, of which you remember, that much appreciate the time, the interview. You've both been exceptionally involved, as you well know, as a mother in all the volunteer aspects, and as a doctor being one of the forerunners, and we thank you for sharing it.
Something I didn't mention, I've looked up the RCS school for about 20, 25 years.
It's a school doctor.
Right, and in the nursing home in the Loughlin Villa for about 15 years, but these are interesting.
Have you kept your hand in it still, or are you completely out?
Completely out. One thing about a practice, there's a lot of history in your patients. I mean, not medical history, but experiences that quite often they shared with me, you know, and the nurses used to get mad at me for taking up time. They knew that I was talking to them just on a social basis, but I was interested in the patient's hobbies or what they did or, you know, their past experiences.
You've always been interesting people. You're like my brother, Dr. Don.
Right. That's what I miss. If you want to put down, I miss the social part of it, or people, I guess that's it. The red tape of medicine is not getting any better. And the advances, you have to keep up. So but the people, they taught me as much medicine as I learned in medical school. I mean, from their experience, you know, and it's been a pleasant experience.